because I'm going to need this evening's class to cover, help us cover all the material.
因为今天晚上就是加上这一堂课呢，马哈他需要有一些时间把这个整个的课程把它讲述完。
It's going to be a challenge even with this extra class.
当然，即便这个课程是有很大的这种挑战性的。
There's 56 verses total in Brahma Samhita that we'll be covering in Brahma Samhita.
那么呢, Brahma Samhita 就是这, 里面有一共有62个时节。
So this evening we should be covering 48, 49, and 50.
那么今天晚上呢要讲48、49、50。
And then it's going to be a little difficult to complete everything. We'll see.
我想可能要是如果把这三节讲完的话，可能也许会有点困难，讲不完可能。This
morning we discussed verses 46 and 47.
那么今天早上呢，我们讲了46、47节。
We especially spent a lot of time describing the position of Ananta Shesha.
那么我们尤其是讲了 Ananta Shesha 的地位。
So the section heading is Govinda is the Lord of all Lords.
那么这个部分的抬头是 Govinda 是所有神明之主。
So Mahavishnu and Lord Brahma and Ganesh, they're lords of different areas of the material creation.
那么呢，Mahavishnu、主 Brahma还有 Ganesh，他们在这个世界上有各种，就是他们自己相应的这种地位。
So we'll start with actually 48 and 49 are very closely related, but we'll see how it goes.
那么实际上是第48世节和第49世节之间是有着紧密的关联的。 我们在接下来的内容当中就可以看到这一点。Let's
please discuss our chant verse together.
然后我们现在一起来念诵这个诗节。
So especially important are these terms, Vishnu or Mahan or Mahavishnu.
那么呢，尤其是 Vishnu Mahan 或者是 Mahavishnu 这个词特别的重要。And
this term over here, Kala Vishesha.
还有这个词 Kala Vishesha.
You see how it's translated down here?
那么在字辈字当中可以看到这个词的意思。
A plenary portion or expansion.
或者这里面说到了全权部分或者是扩展。
And so now the translation.
译文是所有物质世界的 Brahma 和其他的神明全显现自 Mahavishnu 的毛孔存活于他的一呼一吸之间我崇拜原始的主 Govinda 他的主要人格 Mahavishnu 乃是他部分的部分。
我崇拜原始的主Govinda，他是人格，他是
Mahavishnu 的部，Mahavishnu 是他的部分的部分。
Part of what we're going to do is discuss this language that Bhakti Siddhanta uses and Prabhupada regularly used, a portion of a plenary portion.
那么呢, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur 还有Srila Prabhupada 他们经常用到了全权部分的部分这个词。
Those of you who have read Prabhupada's books, you're familiar with hearing that phrase.
那些阅读了Srila Prabhupada的书籍的人 对这个词应该是比较熟知的。
And it comes from this Sanskrit term, Yasya Kala Vishesha, or whose, yasha means whose, portion of a plenary portion.
那么 yasha 的意思是谁的？它的 vishesha 就是全权谁的？全权部分的部分。
I don't know if you've thought about it, but I've often thought about it. What does that mean?
那么我不知道大家是不是思考过这个词，但是我经常考虑这个词，到底这个词是什么意思？
So there's a particular purport in 6th Canto Bhagavatam where Prabhupada discusses this terminology.
那么呢，释迦牟尼佛德在《圣典·薄伽瓦坛》第六篇第十六章三十七世节的要旨里面讲到了这个术语的意思。
Should I? I'll say it.In a summary way, and you translate the summary. The material creation begins with the with Mahavishnu.
那么这个宇宙的创造呢，是由 Mahavishnu 来他进行的。
He's lying down in the causal ocean on the bed of Anantashesh.
Mahavishnu 躺在元阴之阳的 Anantashesh 蛇床上。
And he's in this state of mystic slumber.
那么呢，他处在一种神秘的睡眠之中。
It's not like us when we sleep.
他不像是我们的睡眠，你们大家的睡眠。
When we sleep, we're covered by ignorance.
那么当我们睡眠的时候，我们是被愚昧覆盖的。
Lord Vishnu is never covered by ignorance.
那么主 Vishnu 从来不会被愚昧覆盖。
But rather he focuses attention inward. He focuses attention within.
那么呢，他将他的注意力完全是专注在内在。
And he's enjoying his pastimes.With Rama Devi within himself,
他在他的内，他在内去和他和 Rama Devi 一直在享受着他们之间的逍遥时光。
And in that condition, he breathes.
就在这种情况下，他呼吸。
As his sleep is not ordinary, his breathing is not ordinary.
所以呢，正像是他的睡眠是不同寻常的，他的呼吸也是不同寻常的。
There are golden globes or orbs or you know the word that are within the pores of his skin.
那么呢，在他的毛孔之内流眼出来的金色的球，金蛋一样。
And when he breathes out,
当他呼出的时候。
All these universes go flying from his body.
然后当他一呼出的时候，所有的宇宙就从他的毛孔当中飞檐而出，流烟出来。
The earlier verses of Sri Brahma Samhita describe.
那么在 Brahma Samhita 的一开始的部分
，They contact the Mahatattva.
他们接触到 Mahatattva.
The Mahatattva is the sum total of the material elements.
Mahatattva 呢是全部的物质元素的组合。
And the material elements cling to those golden globes or orbs, golden seeds. The material elements cling to.
那么这个物质元素
They attach themseles
那么这些物质元素呢就接触到了这些
And the outside of those universes start to expand
那么物质元素呢就触碰到了这些晶球然后这些晶球呢逐渐的发展
And there's many other detailed steps many
那么呢其中的步骤呢是有许许多多的
And after some timeMahavishnu expands within each of those universes as Garbhadakshayi Vishnu.
然后呢，接下来 Mahavishnu 又把自己扩展成 Garbhadakshayi Vishnu, 运荡之阳 Vishnu, 进入到每一个宇宙当中。
Garbhadakshayi Vishnu lies down within that universe, each universe.
Garbhadakshayi Vishnu 运荡之阳 Vishnu 在每一个宇宙当中躺在其中。
It's very hot inside this enclosed universe, so So his body perspires.
然后就是他的这个宇宙呢是非常热，非常那个时候宇宙当中非常的炙热。
And half of that universe fills up with his perspiration.
因为宇宙当中非常的炙热，所以他的躯体流出了汗液，把宇宙淹没了，把一半的宇宙淹没了。
And the other half of the universe is hollow inside.
然后呢，宇宙的另一半就漂浮在这些水液当中。
That's where the 14 planetary systems are situated.
所以呢，那么这就正是十四个星系所待的所处的位置。
And then Lord Brahma is born from his body, and the whole thing happens for the lifetime of Brahma.
然后呢接着 Brahma 就从他的肚脐的产生自他肚脐的莲花上诞生出来，并且度过了他的一生。
And the duration of that is what is it 32 billion 40 million years、right?
Brahma 的一生是
410兆，对，410兆。
Brahma 的一生是411兆亿年，这是在《国家梵歌》的第七章。
There's the number. 311 trillion 40 billion years.
三百一十一兆。
啊，对。这个 Brahma 的一生是311兆亿年。
That's a big number.
这是一个庞大的数字。
He lives for a long time.
他的一生是非常长的。
And that's the exhalation of Mahavishnu.
那么这只是 Mahavishnu 的一呼而已。
And then he inhales.
然后 Mahavishnu 吸气。
And for the duration of his inhalation, the entire cosmic manifestation is again drawn within the body of Mahavishnu for an equal duration, 311 trillion 40 billion years.
那么 Mahavishnu 的这个一吸呢也是同样的，是跟他的一呼是同样的。在那个时候，当 Mahavishnu 吸气的时候，整个宇宙创造就被毁灭，进入到他的体内。
So Prabhupada writes here that Mahavishnu is a plenary portion of a portion of Vishnu, Govinda.
那么是帕帕在要旨里面说到的 ，Mahavishnu 是 Vishnu Govinda 的全全部分的一个部分。
Then he defines this term Kala.
接下来他定义了 Kala.
The word Kala means a plenary portion of a plenary portion.
那么 Kala 就是他的意思是。全全部分的全全部分。
What's that?
这到底是什么意思呢
？So then he describes there's Krishna Govinda.
那么他就又描述到有 Krishna Govinda.
And Krishna or Govinda expands as Balaram.
然后 Krishna 或者是 Govinda 扩展出 Balarama.
He's a plenary expansion, Balaram.
Balarama 是 Krishna 的全全扩展。
And then there's many other expansions from that.
然后呢 ，Balarama 又扩展出许多其他的扩展。
Rather than go through the whole list, the forms of Vishnu that are for the purpose of creation.
那么，主 Vishnu 它的形体就是用来创造、进行创造的主 Vishnu.
They're a portion of.Lord Balaram and his direct expansion.
他们呢是 Krishna 的直接扩展 ，Balarama 的一部分。
A plenary portion of Balaram.
它是 Balarama 的全全部分。
Remember that discussion, that nice picture of Mother Jamuna Devi, and she's coming before Lord Balaram.
那大家还记得早上？就是雅穆娜女神，她双手合十，去到巴拉拉玛面前去向她请求。
And she says, "Oh, Rama, Rama, from but a portion of you, Anantashesh comes and he holds the universe under his foot.
然后亚穆那女神是这样祈祷的 ，Rama Rama， 从你的一部分 Anantashesha 流眼而出。这位 Anantashesha 顶着所有的宇宙的星球在他的头上。
So Balaram is a plenary expansion of Krishna.
所以 Balarama 是 Krishna 的一个全权扩展。
And Vishnu is a expansion of Balaram, a portion of a plenary portion.
那 Vishnu 是 Balarama 的一个扩展，也就是 Vishnu 是 Krishna 的全权部分的部分。
Anyway, I thought I would share that because Prabhupada explains it.
那么跟大家来分享这个，因为是帕帕是这样解释的。
Now I'm going to read a little bit from Chaitanya Charitamrita.
现在呢，我来读一读 Chaitanya Charitamrita 主的永恒的主 Chaitanya 经里面描述的。
And it's in relation to the pastime of Lord Brahma seeing the cowherd boys.Having their lunch just after Krishna killed Agasura.
那么呢？那么这一段故事，这一段小时光呢，是跟主 Balarama， Balarama 主 Brahma 在 Krishna 杀死 Agasura 之后，和牧牛童们在一起共进午餐，这是 Brahma 在天空中所看到的情景。
Lord Brahma travels on a swan carrier.
那么 Brahma 他骑着他的坐骑天鹅四处遨游。
And he was traveling in the sky.
他在天空中遨游漫游。
Above Vrindavan.
他在 Vrindavan 的上空遨游。
And he saw, he observed the whole pastime of Krishna's killing of Agasura.
他看到了 Krishna 杀死 Agasura 的整个过程。
And Krishna, and he, Balaram, excuse me, Brahma was astonished.
Brahma 对此感到惊讶。
So he began to consider.
所以呢，他就开始想。
How powerful is this little boy?
他就想，这个小孩，小男孩，他真有力量。
So he got this desire to examine the limits of Krishna's power.
所以呢，他那个时候脑海里就浮现出这样的一个念头：我要去考验考验这个小牧牛童的力量，他到底是不是至尊人的守神。
So he devised a plan.
所以呢，他就计划了这样的一个想法。
While the cowherd boys were having lunch,
那么那个时候呢，牧牛童们正在共进午餐。
Brahma stole all the calves, took them away.
Brahma 就趁机呢偷走了所有的小牛犊。
And he put them in a cave.
并且把这些小牛犊放在了一个山洞里。
And then one of the boys noticed, hey, the calves are gone.
其中的一个牧牛童呢就注意到了，哎，这些牛犊怎么全都不见了？
And it's our service, it's our dharma to protect the cows.
因为对于小牧牛童来说，这是他们的服务，他们的 dharma 就是去照顾这些小牛犊。
So Krishna said, don't worry.
然后 Krishna 说不要担心。
You can all finish your lunch, I'll go find the cows.
啊，你们在这里吃完你们的午餐，我去找那些小牛犊。
So while Krishna was going in this direction searching for the cows,
所以呢 ，Krishna 就朝着这个方向去找了那些小牛犊。
Brahma came back and he kidnapped the cowherd boys.
然后 Brahma 就趁机回到了现场，又把那些小牧牛童给偷走了。
And he put them all in a cave.
并且把他们也全都放在了山洞里。
And then Brahma went back to where they were sitting to have their lunch.
然后呢 ，Brahma 又回到了他们共进午餐的地方。
To see what was Krishna going to do with that trick.
然后他就想，看 Krishna 是怎么对这一计谋的这种反应。
Well, Krishna showed a better trick.
啊，但是呢，Krishna 他玩了一个更好的这个花招。
Krishna manifested identical forms of each of the calves and the cowherd boys.
然后那个时候呢，Krishna 就把自己亲自扩展成每一个小牛犊和每一个牧牛童。
Brahma was confused.
Brahma 看了以后摸不着头脑。
So we went back to the cave and There he saw the calves and the coward boys in the cave, right where he put them.
后来呢，他就摸着头发就回到了走环，返回了那个山洞。一看，咦，那些牧牛童和小牛犊都在那里呀。
So he went back and he saw they're still there having lunch.
然后呢，他又折回路返到现场，看见这些牧牛童们还在那里共进午餐。
And then all of a sudden.
然后突然之间。
Each one of the cowherd boys manifested a form of Narayan.
每一个牧牛童和小牛犊就展示，每一个牧牛童就展示出了 Narayan 的四谛形象。
And surrounding the Narayana were all the personified Vedas and all the demigods praising him, each one of them.
然后呢，就是在这些每一个 Narayan 的四谛形体四周呢，都围绕着那些伟大经的人格，还有那些半神人，他们在那里称赞着、歌颂着每一个 Narayan。
So Brahma could understand these weren't cowherd boys; these were forms of Narayan taking the shape of cowherd boys, identical to them.
所以呢，那么后来那个主 Brahma 就立刻认识到了每。这 Narayana 他现在以每一个牧牛童的形象显现在他面前。
And then,
接着
as suddenly as they appeared, they all disappeared.
然后突然之间，就像他们突然之间显现一样，这些形象突然之间就消失了。
So Brahma came before Krishna and bowed his foreheads.
然后呢 ，Brahma 就去到 Krishna 面前。把他的四个头拜倒在 Krishna 的莲花足下。
That's a swan carry, but looks more like a rooster.
他的坐骑怎么看上去跟个大鸭子似的？
大鹅。
There's a swan.
啊，这是天鹅，刚才画的像个大鹅。God.
And he offered some very beautiful prayers to Krishna.
然后 Brahma 就向主 Krishna 供奉了美丽的祷文。
And I'm going to read some of those prayers to you.
我现在来读一读 Brahma 当时献给 Krishna 的祷文其中的一部分。
This for your reference, those of you that like to take notes, it's Adi Lila chapter 5 texts 72-75.
那么呢，是在阿迪利拉第五章第二十。
72-75.
是72-75诗节。
These are verses that are referring to chapter 14 of Canto 10, the prayers of Brahma.
那么呢，这个诗节呢，跟这个第十圣典国家宝坛第十篇的第十八章的诗节是相关的。
Brahma said, "Who am I, a small creature of seven times my own hand in height?"
啊，然后 Brahma 就说了，我这个人到底是谁呀？小小的我到底是谁？我这个人也就是我这个身体长，身体的高度也就是手掌的七倍长而已。这样的一个生物体。
And this little body of mine is enclosed inside this vast universe.
好，我这个小小的这样的一个人物创造了宇宙。
And the universe is made of these various material elements.
而这个宇宙呢，是由各种各样的物质元素组成。
How significant am I?
我就是非常微不足道的。
But you who's standing before me,
但是站在我面前的您
unlimited universes pass through the pores of your body.
那么无尽的宇宙从你的毛孔当中流烟而出
just like particles of dust pass through an opening of a window.
就像是尘埃的微粒从窗户的缝隙中透过窗户
Have you seen that sometimes?
大家见过没有？就是从窗户。
The rays of light are coming in the window. Little particles of dust are floating around.
那么当阳光照进窗户的时候，我们可以看着，沿着这个阳光可以看到有很多的尘埃飞进了窗口。
You're so great that those universes are emanating from the pores of your body like little particles of dust floating in the rays of light coming through a window.
那么呢，灵是如此的伟大，无数的宇宙从你的毛孔当中流淌而出，就像是无数的尘埃的微粒，从窗户口飞到室内一样。
So what Brahma is saying is, Krishna and Mahavishnu are none different.
所以呢 ，Brahma 在这里说到了 Krishna 和 Mahavishnu 是没有分别的。
And then he goes on.
接下来他继续说道。
A part of a whole is called a kala.
那么他说，这个整体的一部分被称为 a kala.
So in Balaram is.The counter form of Lord Govinda or expansion of Lord Govinda.
而 Balarama 是 Govinda 的扩展。
So Balaram's expansion is Mahasankarshan.
那 Balarama 是扩展出 Mahasankarshan.
And his fragment, the Purusha, that's Mahavishnu.
他的部分 Mahavishnu.
Is counted as kala, or a portion of a plenary portion.
那么它的扩展，也就是 Mahavishnu 是全全部分的一部分。
I say that this kala is Mahavishnu.
那么我说，这位 kala 就是 Mahavishnu.
He is the Mahapurusha.
他是 Mahapurusha.
Who is the source of?The other Purushas.
Mahapurusha 是所有其他 Purusha 的源头。
And who is all pervading.
他 Mahapurusha 无处不在。
So he's confirming that Govinda is the source of Mahavishnu, who is the Kala, or portion of a plenary portion.Of Krishna.
那么呢，主婆婆 Rama 在这里确证了 Krishna Govinda 是 Mahavishnu 的源头。Mahavishnu 是 Kala 啊，是 Kala。那么它是实际上它是全全部分的一部分。
I was wrong. It's Kala.
Kala
Vishesha.
Kala Vishesha.
Kala means time.
Kala 的意思是时间。
And kala is another word.
Kala 是另外一个词。
Kala means Mahavishnu.
Kala 的意思是 Mahavishnu.
And Brahma lives just for one exhalation of Mahavishnu.
而 Brahma 的一生呢，就在 Mahavishnu 的一呼一吸之间。
And he's finished.
然后就他就一生就结束了。
Just consider how great is Mahavishnu.
所以呢，我们呢，从中我们就可以了解到 Mahavishnu 是多么的伟大。
Let's just, you know, put it on our scale.
那么我们现在来看一看。
We breathe out.
哦，我们来看看我们的呼吸。
And
我们呼出。
There's this living entity that he takes his birth.
然后呢，当然在这呼吸一呼出的时候，也有生物体。
He grows up.
出生了，然后成长。
He goes to school.
然后他也上学。
He gets a job.
然后有工作。
Has a family.
也有家庭。
And his children grow up and get their education.
然后呢，他就去啊，然后呢，他的孩子也去上学。
And they get married and have their grandchildren.
然后呢，他的孩子也结婚了，也生子了，然后也。
孙子辈儿，
然后也孙子辈也出生了。
And then he, you know, he writes his will and he dies.
然后呢，接下来他就是衰老了，然后就死亡了。
And then you breathe in.
然后呢，接着就呼进去，吸气。
How significant is that living entity for one duration of your breath?
所以呢，我们可以这样想：当你一呼一吸的时候，这些生物体，他们这一生是多么的微不足道。
That's what this verse is saying. Lord Brahma, who is going to be spoken about in this next verse.
所以呢，那就是 Brahma 他在下一个世界里要说到这一点。
He lives just for one exhalation of Mahavishnu.
那么就说到了主 Brahma 的一生就是。Mahavishnu 的一呼一吸之间
and compared to our solar years That's 311 trillion 40 billion years.
然后根据我们的这一生 ，Brahma 的一生它长达311兆亿年。
If Brahma is insignificant in comparison to Mahavishnu, what does that make us?
那如果跟这个 Mahavishnu 相比较起来，主 Brahma 是如此的微不足道，更何况我们呢，就更加微不足道。
And we have all these existential questions about being humble.
所以呢，那么我们就不得不在内心培养这种谦卑的心态。
Maharaj, how am I supposed to be humble?
Maharaj, 我应该怎么变得谦卑呀？
怎么谦卑？
We're literally insignificant.
我们本来就很微不足道。
Literally insignificant.
我们是非常非常微不足道的。
Tell a little Prabhupada story. We're not going to get through too many verses tonight.
那我们今天就不讲那么多细节了。我现在给大家讲一个释迦帕帕德当时的故事。
In the early days of the Hare Krishna movement,
那么在 Hare Krishna 运动的早期
the very first temple was 26 Second Avenue.
那么呢，那个第一个庙呢，是在是第七大道的26条街。
Prabhupada named a temple, his first temple president.
那么那个时候呢，是第一座庙。
And his name is Brahmananda.
那第一个庙长呢叫 Brahmananda.
And Brahmananda was a big devotee.
Brahmananda 是一个大奉献者。
He was physically big.
就是身体很大，很壮。
But he was also given so much responsibility.
但是呢，他仍然就是身系多项职责责任。
I remember the first time I met Brahmananda, it was like, wow, he's a big devotee.
那么当我第一次见到他的时候，我就非常惊讶，哇，身材好魁梧的奉献者。
So one morning they were on a walk in New York City with Prabhupada.
那么有一天早上呢，在纽约，和Prabhupada一起清晨散步。
And Brahmananda was asking Prabhupada, how can he remain humble?
然后 Brahmananda 就问释迦帕帕说，怎么样变得谦卑？
Because I'm given so much responsibility by you.
因为我现在呢被你就是被你就是任命了那么多的职责要去履行。
And I have so much authority over other people.
那么呢我对其他人呢就是有那么多的就是我对其他人来说我是一个权威我要给去管理他们。
Other people, devotees are giving me so much praise and honor for all the nice service that I'm doing.
所以呢其他的人经常就是赞扬我做了这么好的服务。
How am I supposed to remain humble? It's very difficult.
那么在这种情况下变得谦卑似乎很困难。
Brahmananda told me, Prabhupada put his cane on the sidewalk.
然后呢，Brahmananda 告诉我说，当时是Prabhupada手拄的拐杖，杵在地上。
And Prabhupada began the following narration.
然后Prabhupada接着这样说的。
Far, far beyond this material world is a vast spiritual sky.
那么呢，在这个物质世界之上，是浩瀚无垠的，灵性的天空。
In that vast spiritual sky, there are innumerable Vaikuntha planets, and biggest amongst them is Goloka Vrindavan.
那么呢，在浩瀚无垠的灵性天空当中，闪耀着无数的维昆塔星球。在这个维昆塔星球之中，最大的就是 Goloka Vrindavan.
The vastness of that spiritual sky is so great, there's no way to measure it.
那么呢，这个浩瀚无垠的灵性天空是如此的浩瀚，无穷无尽，难以丈量。
And in one small corner of that vast spiritual sky, there's a cloud of material energy.
那么呢，在浩瀚无垠的灵性天空的一角，那里有一朵云，这就是物质能量之云。
And within that cloud of the material energy, Mahavishnu lies down in the causal ocean.
那在这个物质能量之云当中 ，Mahavishnu 就躺在元婴之阳上。
And from his body comes unlimited numbers of universes.
那从 Mahavishnu 的身体当中流演出数不胜数的物质宇宙。
And in one of those universes, which is smallest amongst all those universes.
那么在这个无数的宇宙当中呢有一个最小的宇宙就是我们所待的这个宇宙
There's so many planets and stars in the sky.
在这个最小的宇宙当中，有那么多的星宿，也有天空。
And amongst those so many planets, there's one that's called the Earth planet.
在那么多的星球当中，有一个星球叫做地球。
In that Earth planet, there's vast oceans and seven continents.
那么在这个地球上有七大陆，有各种各样的海洋。
And one of those continents is called North America.
那么其中的一个大陆叫做北美。
And within North America, there's one part of it that's called the United States.
在北美这个州当中，有一个国家叫做美国。
And one of those states is called New York State.
那么在这个美国当中，有一个州叫纽约州。
And within New York State, there's one city called New York City.
那么在纽约州，有一个城市叫纽约。
And one part of New York City is this place called Manhattan.
然后呢，在纽约这个城市当中，有一个地方叫做曼哈顿。
And in Manhattan, there's millions of people that are living.
那么在曼哈顿这个地方住着成千上万的人。
And one little part of Manhattan on Mott Street, there's one Brahmananda who's saying, "How can I be humble?"
然后在这个曼哈，在这个人来人往的曼哈顿的这个城市当中。有一个人叫做 Brahmananda， 这个 Brahmananda 在我面前问一个人应该如何变得谦卑。
You are literally insignificant.
你的确是非常微不足道。
That is reality.
这就是现实。
So, part of the sense of this verse we just covered is to understand how tiny we really are.
所以呢，我们可以从这个世界当中了解到，我们是多么的渺小、微不足道。
So let us chant verse 49 together.
那我们一起来吟诵第四十九诗节。
This is, he is the Jagat Anda Vidhana Karta. He is the chief of the universe.
那么这里说到他是 Jagat Anda Vidhana， 他是宇宙的首领。
That's the position of Lord Brahma.
这就是 Brahma 的地位。
And the translation.
译文：我崇拜原始的主 Govinda， 正如太阳将自身的光辉的一部分展现于一切璀璨的宝石之中，诸如 Surya Kanta 等等。从他那里，个别的主要部分 Brahma 得到管理物质世界的力量。
So we see here's the sun.
我们看到那里有太阳。
And the rays of the sun are emanating from the sun.
然后阳光从太阳那里流烟而出。
And there are some gems that are able to store the light and the energy of the sun.
那么有一种宝石，它能够聚集阳光的光华。
But how much energy and light can be stored in a gem compared to the light of the sun?
那么跟阳光光灿相比较起来，一颗小小的宝石当中到底能够去吸收多少阳光的光华呢？
The light in the gem comes from the sun.
那么宝石的光是来自太阳的。
The quantity of light and heat in the gem is insignificant compared to the sun.
那么根据太阳跟太阳相比较起来，宝石里面所蕴藏的光与热是微不足道。
The work that Brahma does is inconceivably complex.
那么实际上 ，Brahma 所做的这个工 ，sorry， 那 Brahma 所做的这个工作服务是非常复杂的、不可思议的、超出人想象的一种复杂。
I remember sitting in a lecture, and Prabhupada was describing.One of his favorite topics is the foolishness of the scientists.
然后呢，释迦帕在一次讲课当中，这是我最喜欢的一部分，就是释迦帕德他总是正是说到了当代的科学家是多么的愚蠢。
He would say, "They say they can create life."
他们认为他们能够创造生命。
I challenge them.
我向他们发出挑战。
Let them make one mosquito.
让他们去创造一只蚊子，看看他们。
Just a little insect.
只是一个小昆虫而已。
But this little insect can fly up, down, left, or right at will.
那么呢，这个小昆虫它能够如自己所愿的，能够上下左右到处飞。
Let them make one mosquito.
让这些科学家们去创造一下一只蚊子吧。
And let that mosquito be able to make another mosquito.
而且他们要创造的这只蚊子能够生出另外一个蚊子。
I challenge them.
我向他们发出这样的挑战。
They will never.
他们永远做不到。
But Brahma made so many mosquitoes.
但是 Brahma 他有演出创造了这么多的蚊子。
And the complexity of the creation of Brahma is mind-boggling. Mind-controlling.
那么呢 ，Brahma 他所进行的这些创造是完，他所进行的这些创造的复杂性是我们人类的头脑难以想象的。
One of my GBC God brothers is Badrinarayan Swami.
那么我的一位 GBC 神兄弟是 Badrinarayan Swami.
And he is based in Southern California.
那么呢，他的基地呢是在加利福尼亚。
So he was describing to me when the engineers were making a plan to build the largest expansion bridge or suspension bridge in San Francisco, the largest in the country.
那么呢，就是那些工程师们，他们想要在
suspension bridge
也就是想就是去建造一座这个桥梁。
They took the best engineers.
那么他们呢找来了最好的工程师。
And gave them 10 years.
给了他们十年的时间。
To study spider webs. Spider web.
Spider web.
Spider web. 蜘蛛网
Spider web.
Spider web. Because spider web already know how to do it.
让他们去研究这个蜘蛛网的构造，因为蜘蛛。他知道怎么样去这个吐丝。
And based on what they learned from spiders, they made the San Francisco Bridge.
然后呢，他们就是基于这个蜘蛛所织出的这个网的结构，然后呢就在 Image City。
就在旧金山
建造了这样的一座桥梁。
You get the idea.
大家能够想象。
Brahma is very intelligent.
Brahma 是非常有智慧的。
And we're going to hear where he gets the intelligence from.
然后我们现在可以告就是待会就能够知道他的这种智慧的来源是出在哪里。
This pastime of Brahma stealing the calves and the cowherd boys.
那么这个消关于 Brahma 偷走牧牛童和小牛犊的逍遥时光。
Is very special. We can say it's an arrangement of the internal potency.
那么是非常特殊的，这是主的内在能量的一个安排。
Because his normal position is as we see on the right.
那么呢，我们的这个通常的这种情况是右边的这幅画所描述的。
His consciousness is fixed upon the supreme Lord.
那么呢，主 Brahma 的通常的一般的知觉状态是他总是全神贯注于冥想 Krishna.
And his power is derived from Krishna, like the Suryakanta gem derives its power from the sun.
那么 Brahma 的这种力量呢，它是来自于 Krishna, 被 Krishna 所赐予，就像是刚才说到的那个宝石，它的光华是来自于太阳。
We discussed a little bit before about some of the forms of some of the avatars fall in more than one category.
那么呢，我们在前面的部分讲到了有一种 avatar， 它有好几类。
Like this description of Kapila and Dhanvantari being in the Bhagavat Avesh category, like that. Remember?
大家。也还记得就是Nishadabe 还有
No, Kapila
Dhanvantari 等等这些种类的化身。
Anyway, so Brahma is in more than one category of avatar.
那么的 Brahma 它是 Brahma
呢 Brahma is in more than one category
那么 Brahma 它 不只属于 一种这个 avatar 的一个范畴它还属于另外一些 avatar 的范畴
He's a Shaktivesha avatar
它是 Shaktivesha avatar 被赋予力量的化身
He has the Lord's Shakti for creation
它拥有他拥有主创造的能量
It's called Srishti Shakti
这种能量被称为 Srishti Shakti
If you remember the verse from Brahma Samhita about Durga
如果大家还记得关于 Brahma Samhita 里面描述 Durga 女神的师姐的话
There are these same three terms Srishti Siddhi Pralayana Shadana Eka SoSrishti means creation.
那么 Srishti 的意思是创造。
Stiti means maintenance.
Stiti 是维系。
And Pralaya means destruction, devastation.
Pralaya means 是毁灭。
Anyway, so Brahma is bearing the fullness of the Lord's creative power.
那么呢 ,Brahma 被赋予了主创造进行创造的能量。
And that's a lot of power.
那么这是非常丰富的能量。
But he's also a guna avatar.
那么他也是 guna avatar.
Here's a verse from the third canto.
这是圣典博迦瓦坛第三篇二十章十七世节写到。
It specifically says that it's Shiradakshai Vishnu who transfers to Brahma the intelligence to create.
那么其中呢就具体的写到了 Shirodakshai Vishnu 那么就是超灵他赐予了从内心在 Brahma 的内心赐予他力量他进入到 Brahma 的心中给予他力量足够的智慧
And the statement is that he's so powerful
而且这里面说到了这种智慧
And his intelligence is so extensive
这种智慧呢是非常有力量的而且是非常深入广博的
that he is almost independent of the control of Krishna
来至于 Brahma 来使得 Brahma 几乎独立于至尊人格守神的控制
of course he dedicates all that he receives to Krishna's service
尽管 Brahma 他是全心全意的去服务 Krishna
So in that sense he's controlled by love
也就是说他被爱所控制
But on the other hand he's almost as independent from the control as the Supreme Lord
但是呢从另外一个角度说主 Brahma 几乎独立于至尊人格守神的控制
And here's another category of avatar he's guna avatar
而且他还是属于另外一个阿瓦塔化身的范畴他是 Guna Avatar
He's in charge of the mode of passion
他控制他主宰着激情属性
And now here are some of Brahma's other services
那么这里描述了 Brahma 的其他的服务
He's the original preceptor of our Sampradaya We're in the Brahma Sampradaya
那么呢他是我们这个 Sampradaya 的使徒传系当中的第一位灵性导师
The painting is indicating that he's manifesting the four Vedas through his four mouths.
然后从这张图片当中我们可以看到从他的四张嘴里流烟出了四部伟达经。
So he manifests the Vedas.
所以呢他展示了伟达经。
And in addition to creating the universe,
那他除了创造宇宙之外
every night there's a partial annihilation and every morning,He recreates that part that's been destroyed at night.
那么在 Brahma 的每个晚上他会进行部分的毁灭又在他每一个白天他会再一次创造。
The part that's not destroyed is the upper four planetary systems.
那么那些就是在部分毁灭当中没有遭到毁灭的是我们这个宇宙的上部分那些星宿。
And the lower ten are destroyed.
然后就是上面的四个星系是没有遭到这些部分毁灭的，下面的十个星系遭到了部分的毁灭。
Here's what's described in Brihad Bhagavatamrita.
那么这呢，在 Brihad Bhagavatamrita 里面有一个诗节这样描述说。
Towards the end of Brahma's day,
那么就在 Brahma 的一个白天即将结束时，
there's a universal drought, no rain.
啊，那么那个时候呢，在宇宙当中发生了干旱，没有雨水。
So everything becomes dry.
所以一切都变得非常的干燥。
And from the bottom of the universe,
从宇宙的底部，
from the mouths of Anantashesh,
从 Ananta Sheshi 的口中
comes fire,
喷射出火焰
and the fire very quickly ignites all that dry lower portion of the universe.
然后这个巨大的火焰顷刻之间就吞没了刚才说到的毁灭的那些地区
and the fire completely engulfs up to this earth planet and then Bhuloka and even the heavenly planet Swargaloka.
那么呢，这个火焰呢，甚至烧了地球，还有甚至是高等星球上的 Svaloka 这样的星宿。
So, there's so much heat down below. The residents in the next planetary system above, that's Maharloka, it's too hot.
那么呢，就是在高等星球的 Mahaloka 上的那些居民，他们感到了极大的灼热、灼烧的感受。
So they get in their vimanas and they go to the higher planetary system.
然后呢
？Tapaloka. Tapaloka.
后来这些居民呢，就赶紧去到了更高的星球 Tapaloka.
And then they stay there for some time until the fire goes out.
然后他们待到那，一直到这个火焰慢慢的退去。
And when the fire goes out, there's this big inundation of rain.
那么当这个火焰消去之后，就下了一场狂风骤雨，滂沱大雨淹没了宇宙。
So everything that was burned now gets dissolved.
那么以前就是先前呢，一切被焰火就是被火焰吞没，现在呢，一切又被水淹没。
It's like a universal flood.
就像是宇宙的洪水一样。
And when the water subsides and goes down.
那么当这个洪水退去之后。
It's the beginning of Brahma's next morning.
那么 Brahma 的第二个白天又开始了。
And he gets up and does his sadhana.
然后 Brahma 就清晨起来做自己的 sadhana 规范修行
He chants his mantra
他念诵他的曼陀罗
He fixes his mind upon Krishna
然后他专注在 Krishna 身上
There's some other details that are described in the Bhagavatam
在圣典国家瓦坛就具体的描述了 他所做的活动
And then he does this partial recreation every day
然后他每天呢每个白天就进行这种部分的再创造。
As mentioned, he lives for a long time.
我们都知道他活了很长的时间。
And he's the father of a number of very great personalities.
而且他是众多伟大人物的父亲。
Can somebody, would somebody like to raise their hand and volunteer? Who are some of the direct offspring or children or Byproducts of Lord Brahma.
那么在座的有谁自告奋勇的回答一下 Brahma 的后代，就是直接由他，谁第一个回答？他的第一个后代是谁 ？Brahma 的第一个后代。
Four
Kumaras.
Four
Kumaras. And then after the four Kumaras.
然后在他的第一个后代是四个库马兄弟。那么在四个库马兄弟之后又是谁呢？
Lord Shiva.
然后主希拉。
And then after Lord Shiva.
在主希拉后面呢？
Narada Muni.
Well, along with Narada Muni, the nine great sages.
然后是六位圣人。
And then who came?
然后六位圣人之后是谁？
Manu.
Swayambhuva Manu.
And not only Swayambhuva Manu, but his wife. And they didn't come out like little babies. They were fully adult form. Whether to do their manu service. So, Brahma did a nice service. Here's a very nice quote from Brihat Bhagavatamrita. Brahma is speaking about himself.
那么呢，嗯，在那个 Brahma Samhita 里面， Brahma 他讲到了自己。
Sometimes when worshipped, he gives benedictions.
那么呢，有的时候去崇拜 Brahma 的时候，会，那 Brahma 会赐予祝福。
And this is Lord Brahma speaking to Narada Muni when Narada Muni comes to appreciate what a glorious personality, you're such a recipient of the mercy of the Supreme Lord.
然后当Narada去到主Brahma面前赞扬，去荣耀Brahma，说他从主Krishna那里得到了多么的，得到了多少仁慈，去赞扬他，然后
And like humble devotees will sometimes do or usually do.
那么呢，就像是作为一个谦卑的奉献者，就像是你们大家有的时候所做的那样。
He makes a whole long list of his mistakes and shortcomings and disqualifications.
然后呢，他呢就像是奉献者一样，他给自己罗列了长长的一个做了多少的，犯了多少的错误，自己是多么不具备资格等等，说了一大串。
And this one is very humorous.
所以这个呢是非常幽默的诙谐。
After Hiranyakashipu was killed,
在Hiranyakashipu被铲除之后,
and Prahlad Maharaj was placed on the throne as king,
那么那个时候呢, Prahlad Maharaj呢, 就被树立为王。
During the coronation ceremony,
就在他的这个加冕的仪式上,
Lord Nrisimhadeva was there.
主尼西拉德我是亲自在场的。
And he approached Lord Brahma.
然后呢，他就去到了Brahma面前。
And he was angry with him.
但是呢，他却对他们Lord Nrisimhadeva was angry with Lord Brahma. 主尼西拉德对主Brahma很生气。
Don't give any more benedictions like this to the demons.
然后他就对生气了，对这个Brahma说。 以后再也不要给像Hiranyakashipu这样的恶魔，给他这样的祝福了。And
then Lord Brahma says,
然后Brahma这样说的,
Even though I was given such a strict order by Lord Nrisimhadeva,
即便主尼西哈德这样的严厉的命令我,
I did it again.
但是呢，我却又重蹈覆辙。
I gave many benedictions to Ravana and other demons.
我给了那个另外一个恶魔 Ravana 很多很多的祝福。
Of course, these are part of the Lord's plan.
那么这是主的，当然这是主的计划。
And these are some of his services.
那么这就是现在呢，我们可以看到是 Brahma 所做的服务。
So who can hold the post of Lord Brahma? There's a list of five.
那么呢，是谁有资格能够去充任Brahma的职位呢？
We'll start with the commentary by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur from the 11th canto of Bhagavatam.
我们现在罗列其中的第一个，这是由Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur的评述当中，在圣典博迦瓦坛的评述当中写到的一条。
And he says, sometimes is someone who is very, very expert in the karma khanda rituals and they're very, very pious.
那么有的时候呢，一个非常精通 karma khanda 之部，这些仪式之部的非常虔诚的人物。
And sometimes such a qualified person becomes Lord Brahma.
有的时候像这样有资格的人，他会充任 Brahma 的职位。
But after their life is finished, they again take birth.
但是呢，在他们的这一生结束之后，他们还会再次投生。
And sometimes there's a great Gyani who is very, very, very qualified And they may become attain the post of Brahma also.
有的时候呢，有一个 Gyani， 就是具有非常非常多的哲学知识的这样一个大圣人，他会去充任 Brahma 的职位。
And when their lifetime of Lord Brahma is finished, they merge into the impersonal Brahman.
那么，当他们身为 Brahma 的这一生结束之后，他们就会融入到非人格的解脱当中。
But more common is a living entity who has a great devotee of Krishna.
那么有的时候，至尊人格所称 Krishna 的一位奉献者，
and
伟大的奉献者。
That Brahma after this lifetime goes back to Godhead.
那么像这样的一位伟大的奉献者，他有资格去充任 Brahma 的职位。当他的这一作为 Brahma 的一生的结束之后，他们就会回到 Krishna 那里。
And Prabhupada describes another category.
那么释迦牟尼佛呢，又描述了另外一类。
There's sometimes a devotee who has this qualification of Deha Drishya, which means they think themselves independently powerful from Krishna.
那么有的时候呢，像这样的一位 Brahma， 他是主的一位奉献者，但是呢，他是 Beta Drishya。那么这样的一个人，他有这样的一种倾向，他认为自己是独立自主的，强而有力的。
Now what Prabhupada writes next is very bewildering.
那么Prabhupada在这里描述的这句话呢，有一点令人百思不得其解。
They may achieve the transcendental realm after this life, but then they come back again to take the post of Lord Brahma.
那么像这样的一位人物呢，他们在毁灭之时到达主的居所，但是当创造开始的时候，他们还会必须要再返回，并且再去充任 Brahma 的职位。
And there is this fifth category.That's described sometimes when there isn't a qualified jiva, Krishna takes the post himself.
那么这里面还有第五类，这里面说到了，在 Mahakalpa 那个时候，主 Vishnu 他自己会成为创造者 Brahma， 他会进入到宇宙当中作为 Raja Brahma， 并且享受这些。超然的喜乐，因为在那个时候，如果没有哪个个体灵魂能够充任 Brahma 的职位的话，那么 Vishnu， 他就会亲自充任 Brahma 的职位。
He doesn't elaborate what it means that he enters the universe as Vraja Brahma. Doesn't say what that means. A Lord Brahma that's in the mood of a worshipper of Krishna and Vraja, perhaps he doesn't elaborate.And then, of course, another service of Lord Brahma is manifesting Gayatri Mantra.
那么这里呢是 Brahma 的另外一个服务，它是念出了 Gayatri Mantra.
By hearing the flutes of Krishna.
他通过聆听 Krishna 的笛声，就念出了 Gayatri， 从他的口中流演出 Gayatri Mantra.
We should understand each Brahma has, or each universe has its own Brahma.
我们应该了解到每一个宇宙都有一位 Brahma.
You know the story from Krishna book or 10th canto?
大家还就看了圣典博迦瓦坛第十篇。
Anyone not familiar with this story?
对这个故事不熟知的请举手，不知道这个故事的举手。
Well, one time,
有一次
Lord Brahma received a message thatKrishna wants to have you come and see him in Dwarka.
那么有一次呢，那个 Brahma 被告知，在 Dwarka 的 Krishna 想要见 Brahma.
Brahma was really happy to get a personal invitation from Krishna.
Oh, Brahma 一听了 Krishna 想要亲自接见我，我太兴高采烈了。
So he hurried up and got himself ready and went to go visit Krishna in Dwarka.
然后呢，他立刻收拾自己，然后就立刻就跑到。就跑上了 Dwarka， 在那里去觐见 Krishna。
And when he got there, he had to wait.
然后呢，当他到达 Dwarka 的时候，他得等一会儿。
Because Krishna's attendant said that he was busy.
因为那个时候呢，Krishna 是公事繁忙。
the attendant said, Krishna would like to know which Lord Brahma has come.
是那个时候呢, Krishna的那个助手 要去就问那个 Brahma 说, Krishna 想要问你, 哪个Brahma来了?
And Lord Brahma said, what does he mean, which Lord Brahma?
然后呢, 这个Brahma就问这个助手说, 你是什么意思? 哪个Brahma?
Four-headed Lord Brahma, the father of the four Kumaras, you can tell him that.
我是四个头的Brahma, 我是四Kumar的父亲, 你可以这样告诉他。
So the representative of Krishna went away.
然后呢, Krishna的代表呢, 就回到宫里了。
And while he was waiting, Lord Brahma saw Brahmas from all over other universes coming.
然后呢,就在他等待的时候,他就看到了所有其他宇宙的那些Brahma全来了。And
Krishna arranged it so that our four-headed Lord Brahma could see them all, but they couldn't see him.
然后Krishna是这样安排的,只有当时四个头的Brahma能够看到所有的这些其他宇宙的Brahma,而其他宇宙的Brahma看不到四个头的Brahma。
But some of them had 10 heads.
那么这些其他宇宙的Brahma,有的Brahma有10个头,
and some of them had 100 heads.
有的呢,有100个头,
and some had 1,000 heads and 10,000 heads and so many heads.
有的呢,有1,000个头,10,000个头等等,
and they came before Lord Krishna and placed their so many helmets on the ground, making a big sound in front of Krishna's throne.
所以呢,这些Brahma全都到了Krishna面前,他们头戴着这个头盔,这些头盔都拜倒在Krishna的莲花足下,制造出非常喧嚣的声音。
Brahma became very humble.
Brahma看了这一幕以后,立刻谦卑下来。
He was thinking he was pretty significant, but now he realized.
然后他就意识到了自己是多么的渺小。
Not so significant at all.
他认为那个时候他觉悟到了自己是完全微不足道。And
that's the section on Lord Brahma.
这是关于Brahma的这个诗节。And
we're now going to finish up with one more.
我们现在呢再讲一个诗节，就告结束。
This is discussing Gana Adi Raja or Ganesh.
那么呢,这个诗节呢,是描述的Gana Adi Raja Ganesh.
Let's chant the verse.
我们来一起念诵这个诗节。 我崇拜原始的主Govinda,他的莲花足总是由Ganesh向头上伸出的一对獠牙紧握着,以获得消除三个世界进步之途上的一切障碍的力量。
That was pretty good, wasn't it? There's the lotus feet of Govinda.
那个在右上角是主Govinda的莲花足。
And there's the lotus feet of Govinda.
那么这个左边的图片是Govinda的莲花足。
And Ganesh is holding the lotus feet of Govinda on the two little nodes or tumuli protruding from the top of his head.
那么呢Ganesh呢就用他的像头上长出来的两只獠牙顶着主Govinda的莲花足。
And it's that benediction of Govinda, the feet of Govinda upon his head, that allows him to remove obstacles.
那么呢,顶在他头上的Govinda的莲花足,赐予了他能够消除进步之途上的一切障碍的力量。
A little bit of description about him.
那么现在呢,来看一看对他的描述。
Each of the names related to Ganesh have to do with his being a supervisor or lord or controller of the followers of Lord Shiva.
那么呢,他Ganesh这里有许许多的名字,每个名字都说明了他是主Shiva的 助手是主席吧，就是进行这种，他是一个监，他是一个监督者，他是助手。
The Sanskrit word gana means followers.
那么 gana 的意思是追随者。
So Lord Shiva has his gana or his followers.
那么主席吧有他的追随者。
And the Lord of the gana of Lord Shiva is Gana Isha or Ganesh.
那么呢，主希瓦的追随者的这些主人就是 Ganesh, Ishva, Ganesh.
Or Ganapati.
Or Ganapati.
Pati, Pati.
Ganapati.
Pati means like father or master.
那么 Pati 的意思是父亲或者是主人的意思。
And Adi Raja means the leader.
那么 Adi Raja 的意思是领袖。
And here's Vinayaka, another name of Ganesh.
那么 Vinayaka 是 Ganesh 的另外一个名字。
Not a very complimentary term, but it means the leader of the misguided.
啊，那么他就这个是不是非常熟知的？这是他的意思是受误导者的领袖。
Because some of the followers of Lord Shiva are ghosts or Buddhas.
因为有的时候主希瓦的一些追随者是幽灵，是鬼魂。
In fact, one of the names of Lord Shiva is Bhutana, or the Lord of the Buddha, the Lord of the Ghosts.
那么呢，主希瓦的另外一个名字就是 Bhutana, 他是幽灵鬼魂的主人。
And the name of Ganesh is Vinayaka, he is the leader of those folks.
啊，那 Ganesh, 他另外的一个名字 Vinayaka, 就指的是受误导者的领袖。
We'll hear a little story about that in a
moment. 那么关于这个呢，有一个小小的故事。
In the Padma Purana, there's a description of how he got an elephant's head.
在 Padma Purana 里面讲述了 Ganesh 是怎么得到他的象头的。
Parvati and Lord Shiva had two sons.
那么 Parvati 和主 Shiva 有两个儿子。
Kartikeya is one.
Kartikeya 是其中一位。
We heard this before. Remember, Kartikeya is the emblem of beauty.
那么呢，我们刚以前说过了，Kartikeya 他是俊美，代表了俊美。
And he's a very powerful fighter.
而且他是一个非常有力量的战士。
And Ganesha is the emblem of success.
而 Ganesh 呢，他就是象征着成功。
So according to Padma Purana.
所以呢，根据 Padma Purana。
One time, Parvati wanted to take a bath.
有一次呢 ，Parvati 要去沐浴。
So she went to a secluded place with one cloth.
所以呢，她就带着她的衣服去到了一个僻静的地方。
And she instructed her son, "Stand here and don't let anybody come."
然后呢，她就是命令她的儿子站着给她放哨，不要让任何人进去。
So while she was taking her bath, Lord Shiva came.
就在 Parvati 沐浴的时候，主希瓦回来了。
And Lord Ganesh said to Lord Shiva, "Sorry, you can't go."
然后呢 ，Ganesh 就对主希瓦说：“你不能再往，你不能进去。”
Parvati told me, "I know I can go."
Parvati 告诉我了，
so,
不准任何人进去。
One of Lord Shiva's names is Ashutosh.
那么希瓦的另外一个名字是 Ashutosh.
Ashutosh means easily angered.
Ashutosh 的意思是很容易愤怒的人。
So he became angry at the so-called intelligence of his son.
所以呢，他就对他的这个所谓的非常有智慧的儿子非常的愤怒。
So he separated the talking part of his body from the rest of his body.
所以呢，一下子，主希瓦愤怒之下就把他的儿子的身体和头分开了。
And then when he cooled down, he said, "Well, your behaving is as intelligent as an elephant. I'll give you an elephant's head."
然后呢，后来他就安慰他说，你是如此的仁慈，然后呢，就给他一个象头安上去了。你是如此的有智慧，你是如此的有智慧。然后呢，我要给你一个象头，然后或者给他一个象头安在他的头身体上。
Now, in the verse itself, there's this term vigna nasha.
那么在他的服务当中呢，有一项服务是 vigna nasha.
Nasha means destroy or remove.
拿下的意思是毁灭或者是拿走。
And vigna means obstacles.
Vigna 的意思是障碍。
So, one of his services is to remove obstacles or inauspiciousness.
所以呢 ，Ganesh 的一项服务就是拿走或是摧毁障碍。
Here's what Prabhupada writes in Nectar Devotion.
那么释迦牟尼佛在奉爱的甘露当中这样写道。
Ganapati worships the lotus feet of Lord Nrisimhadev.
Ganapati, 他崇拜主尼辛哈德的莲花足。
And in that way, he has become auspicious.
那么就这样呢，他就变得吉祥了。
For clearing out all impediments.
那么为奉献者铲除所有的障碍。
So the verse speaks of his holding the lotus feet of Govinda on his tumula.
那么刚才这个师姐呢，说到了 Ganesh， 他用他头上有长出来的两只獠牙，紧紧地握住主 Govinda 的莲花足。
And our acharyas explained.
我们的 acharya 明心导师这样描写的。
It's the expansion of Govinda in the form of Lord Nrisimhadev that he holds.The lotus feet upon his head.
那么呢，他紧紧握着 Govinda 的一个化身，虚拟辛哈德的莲花足。
He's a Nrisimha Bhakta.
那么他是尼辛哈巴卡，他是尼辛哈的奉献者。
And by that devotion to Lord Nrisimhadev.
因为他对主尼辛哈德的奉爱。
He gets the ability to do his service.
所以呢，他就获得了做这项服务的能力。
Removing obstacles.
就是获得了去拿走所有的障碍的这种能力。
So what do we do?
那么我们应该怎么做呢？
We worship Lord Nrisimhadev.
我们崇拜主尼辛哈德。
In fact, we do after every arti.
那么实际上，我们在每天做arti，我们每天这么做。
Here's the understanding of why.
那么我们在此就能够明白了，这样做的原因是什么？
When worshipping the Supreme Lord,
当我们崇拜至尊主的时候，
there may be some inadvertent or unintentional mistakes.
那么可能我们会做下一些无意当中会做下一些冒犯或错误。
We worship Lord Nrisimhadev.
我们崇拜主尼辛哈德。
For the removal of them, any obstacles that may have been created.
那么去请求他去扫除我们所制造的一切障碍。
In the course of unintentional mistakes when we were doing our worship.
那么呢，那么就是在无意当中所我们在崇拜当中所无意的犯下的错误，去去除掉这些错误。
Or in terms of our life in general.
或者是跟我们这一生，我们在这一生当中。无意犯下的错误，在其他的时候犯下的错误。
Supposing you're not a devotee.
例如你不是一位奉献者。
Let's not suppose that. Supposing somebody else is not a devotee.
那么我这是不能说这个比喻啊。我们来说，例如别的人他不是 Krishna 的奉献者。
And they want some material elevation.
那么呢，他们想得到物质上的提升。
So they do some karma kanda ritual.
所以呢，他们就做这个果报之部里面推荐的那些祭祀仪式。
In every single one of those karma kanda rituals, there are verses propitiating Ganesh to remove any obstacles in achieving that material thing they want.
然后呢，就是在每一个这个karma kanda 之部的每一个这个细节当中都说到了，要想做到这一点，达成这个物质上的成功提升。要去崇拜 Ganesh， 他会赐予这样的祝福，扫除障碍。
Those of you that have carefully studied Nectar of Devotion，
那些非常仔细的研读了奉爱的甘露的人
，You know that there are 64 items of devotion。
那你们都知道，一共有64项奉爱品质。
And one of them is worshiping Ganesh。
那么其中的一项就是崇拜 Ganesh。
Correct？
是吗？对吗 ？Yes。
So。Prabhupada was asked.
那么是有一次有人问是 Prabhupada.
You wrote about worship of Ganesh, but you haven't taught us how to worship Ganesh.
那么你写到了要崇拜 Ganesh， 但是却没有写如何崇拜 Ganesh.
So here's two very short Prabhupada stories.
所以呢，这里告诉大家两个简短关于 Prabhupada 的故事。
This first one I heard from Satsarup Maharaj.
我第一个呢，我是从 Satsarupa Maharaj 那里听到。
Prabhupada was asked, should we begin worship of Ganesh? Because you wrote about it in Netra Devotion.
那么有人就问释迦牟尼佛说, 我们现在是不是要开始来崇拜Ganesh? 因为你在书中写到了崇拜Ganesh.
He said, I have not introduced it because if you worship Ganesh and you have material desire, then you may get the fulfillment of that material desire, which will become an obstacle in your path of bhakti.
那么呢，释迦牟尼佛就这样说到了，我并不推荐你们去崇拜Ganesh，因为当你们去崇拜Ganesh的时候，你们心中的这种欲望想通过崇拜Ganesh的得以达成，当你们实现了这种物质欲望的时候，这种物质欲望会成为你们奉爱道路上的障碍。
So I have given the worship of Lord Nrisimhadeva instead.
所以呢，我推荐你们去崇拜主心海的。
Then the second story is there was a devotee who heard the first answer.
然后这个第二个问题，第二个故事是后来这第一个问题被提到之后。
But he was one of those stubborn types, you know.
Stubborn.
He was stubborn.
但是呢，这个人呢，非常的就是顽固。
So he wrote to Prabhupada.
然后他后来又写信给Prabhupada.
He said, I know what you said, but I kind of would like to begin worshipping of Ganesh.
然后后来他就跟Prabhupada说, 我知道你讲的这个,但是呢,我的确是不是能够现在开始崇拜Ganesh?
But I would not want to do it without very careful guidance from my spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada.
但是呢,如果,但是。But
I wouldn't want to do it without careful guidance.
但是呢，如果没有得到我的灵性导师，是的，帕帕德的非常仔细的指导的话，我做不到，我不会这么做。And
then Prabhupada wrote back a very clever letter.
然后呢，是的，帕帕德呢就写下了这样的一封回答，聪明的回答。He
said it is very difficult to worship Ganesh.
他就说到了，崇拜Ganesh很难。I
think it is too much complicated and too much beyond your ability to do it.
我认为去崇拜Ganesh非常非常的复杂，是超出了你的智力范围之外的。One
item is you must offer Guru Dakshin of $10,000 every month if you want to worship Ganesh.
如果你每个月能够给Guru Dakshina 一万美金的话，那么你就可以崇拜Ganesh.
And during that period of time, that was a lot of money.
因为在那个时候，一万美金，一个月一万美金是很巨大的数额。
Now, I don't take it that Prabhupada really wanted such a large Guru Dakshin. Rather, he was helping a devotee understand, if you can't hear your instruction for your spiritual master, I'll give you an obstacle and you won't be able to do it.
那么呢，其实在这里，帕帕他并不想要这个奉献者的这个Guru Dakshina给Guru的这个布施，他只不过是在这里告诉他，这么这件事情是很难以做到的，给他就是消除他在奉献服务道路上的这个障碍。
Here's another one of the services of Ganesh.
那么呢，Ganesh他还有一个服务是。
There are persons who approach him who are impersonalists.
那么就是那些非人格主义者会去找他。
Mayavadis, you've heard of those Mayavadis.
大家听说了Mayavadi这个词儿。 Mayavadi非人格主义者。
You know what Mayavadis teach.
那么你们都知道Mayavadi他们所教导的知识是什么。
There's only one thing.
他们教的只有一件事儿。
Brahman.
Brahman.
And there isn't anything else.
没别的了，他们就叫了人们饭，除此没有别的。But
then they say Brahman may sometimes take a form temporarily, and these five forms are worshipable forms, so that you can become one with Brahman.
然后他们就说了，后来这位Brahman饭，他后来就接受了一个短暂的躯体，这样呢，有人就可以去崇拜这个形体，然后自己成为 Brahman.
And it's called Pancha Upasana. Pancha means five.
那么他们通过这样的 Pancha Upasana.
And Upasana means worship.
那么Pancha是五，Upasana是崇拜，他们通过五种崇拜去崇拜，刚才说的那个形体。
Worship these five with the view of becoming one with Brahman.
那么呢，通过这五种崇拜，一个人就可以成为 Brahman.
And Ganesh. Ganesha is one of those five.
那么 Ganesha 就是这五，就是这五，就是其中之一。
According to Madhya Lila chapter 24.
那么根据永恒的主且他念经 Madhya Lila 第二十四章。
Prabhupada writes in one purport.
那么释迦牟尼佛在要旨里这样写的。
That persons in the mode of goodness mixed with the mode of ignorance worship Ganapati or Ganesh.
那么他说到了那些处在善良形态，那些处在善良和愚昧形态的混杂的状态当中的人，他们会去崇拜 Ganesh。
And we're going to end with telling a nice story from the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam.
然后我现在呢，在结束之前，我给大家讲一个《圣典国家晚谈》第十篇的一个故事。
This is an example of one of the names of Ganesh, the Ganadi Raja.
这是 Ganadi Raja, Ganesh 的一个名字。
He's the Adi Raja or the leader.Of Lord Shiva's Gana or followers.
那么这个意思是，他是主希瓦的追随者 ，Gana 的领袖阿迪拉贾。
And it's connected with the story of the marriage of Usha and Aniruddha.
那么这个故事呢，跟 Usha 和 Aniruddha 息息相关。
Do you know who Usha was?
大家知道 Usha 是谁吗
？Usha was the daughter of.Banasura.
那么 Usha 是 Banasura 的女儿。
And he was an Asura.
而 Banasura 是一位 Asura 恶魔。
He was a demon.
他是一位恶魔。
And he was an ardent worshipper of Lord Shiva.
那么他通常情况下是崇拜，他是主 Shiva 的崇拜者。
And he did some service for Lord Shiva. I can't remember what.That pleased Lord Shiva so much, Lord Shiva asked him for a benediction. Please take a benediction from me.
他呢崇拜了主希瓦，主希瓦被他的崇拜所取悦，然后主希瓦就问，就请他向主希瓦寻求祝福。
And he wanted 1,000 arms so that he could play musical instruments and Lord Shiva could dance as he was playing his musical instruments.
后来他就，那主希瓦就赐予了他1,000只臂膀。这样呢，他就能够为主希瓦用1,000只手伴奏、敲打乐器，这样主希瓦就能够听着这些音乐来舞蹈。
So he got all those arms and he played music very nicely, and Lord Shiva did his dance.
然后他就得到了这1,000只臂膀，就开始敲奏乐器为主希瓦的舞蹈伴奏。
But you know what it's like. Somebody gets some opulence and their heart is not pure, and they develop pride.
那么呢，有的时候就是有些人他们得到了这样的祝福，但是内心并不纯净，然后后来呢就滋生了骄傲，变得很骄傲。
Here's a mathematical equation.
啊，有一个就是数学公式。
The fruits of austerities or piety.
那么就是这个苦行或者是虔诚活动的结果。
Plus.
加上。
A heart that's not pure.
加上内心的不纯净。
Equals.
等于。
Pride.
骄傲。
Every time.
每次都是这样。
Not sometimes.
不是说是有时是这样。
Every time.
每次都是这样。
So Banasura became very proud.
所以呢 ，Banasura 变得非常的傲慢骄傲。
So much so that he complained to Lord Shiva.
然后呢，于是呢，后来他就向主希瓦投诉抱怨。
He had played music so nicely. Lord Shiva said, "What other benediction you would like?" And he said, "You can guard my door."
然后就是巴拉苏拉就是为主希瓦伴奏之后，然后主希瓦非常的喜悦，他就问，他说我要给你另外一个祝福，你可以当我的看门人。
His master becomes the guard at his door.
后来那个主希瓦就给他一个祝福，然后巴拉苏拉说，请你当我的看门人，然后他的主人。主希瓦就变成了他的看门人。
Then later he complained to Lord Shiva.
然后后来呢，他就向主希瓦投诉抱怨。
You've given me all these arms, but other than you, I can't find any person that's my match to fight.
然后他说：“你给了我这么多的1,000只臂膀，然后除了你之外，没人能够跟我相比比拟。”
And Lord Shiva became angry, so much pride.
然后呢, 主希瓦, 非常的生气, 就说, 巴拉苏拉, 太骄傲了。
He said, this pride will be your destruction.
然后主希瓦就对他说, 你的骄傲就是你的毁灭。
You will meet your match.
你会找到对手的。
And you will be destroyed by Lord Krishna.
你会被主 Krishna 打败。
So some time passed.
所以过了一段时间,
and Banasura had a daughter named Usha.
Banasura 就有了一个女儿叫 Usha.
And Usha started having these dreams at night.
有一天, Usha 做了这样一个梦,
about, you know, really exciting dreams with a young man.
那么呢,就是她梦到了一个年轻的男子,她非常的兴奋。
And things were happening between her and that man during her dream, and it happened night after night.
然后呢,她就梦到了她在梦中和这个男子之间的这种情感,然后她就日夜的思念着她在梦中所梦到的那个男子。
Now, Usha started not sleeping well at night because she was having these wild dreams.
因为Usha呢,她做了这样的一个梦,所以她彻夜未眠。
So she had a very dear friend named Chitraleka who has had a number of different mystic powers.
还有一个女友叫Chitraleka,Chitraleka拥有很多的神秘的力量。
So she said, Usha, what's going on?
然后她就问Usha,怎么了?
Are you having a relationship with some man?
你和某一个男子有什么关系了吗?
And she said, well, only in my dreams.
然后乌夏就说,我只是在梦里梦到了一个男人。
She said, do you know who the man is?
然后就问他,那个男的是谁呀?
She said, no, but I meet him every night.
他说,我不知道他是谁,因为我从来没见过他。
So Chitraleka said, one of my skills is I'm an artist.
然后Chitraleka说,我是一个艺术家。
So you describe the form and I'll make a painting.
那么你呢,就描述一下他的轮廓。我就按照你的描述,我来把他这个人物画下来。
And by Chitraleka's meditation,
然后Chitraleka通过他的冥想,
and Usha's description, finally she came up with exactly the person.
然后呢,Usha一边讲,Chitraleka就一边冥想。 Chitraleka通过他的理想的力量,就把这个,他梦中的人物就一模一样的就画了下来。
Chitraleka said, I know who this person is.
后来Chitraleka说,我知道这个人到底是谁了。His
name is Aniruddha.
他的名字叫Aniruddha。
And he's in the Yadu dynasty family.
而这个人呢,是亚都王朝中的一员。
So, another one of my mystic powers.
然后呢,有一天他就通过他的神秘力量。
And as I can travel long distances and no one can even see me traveling.
我可以从远处去到另外一个地方,甚至没人,不会被任何人看到,察觉到。
So if you want, I'll go directly to Dwarka and bring Aniruddha right here in your bedroom.
如果你愿意的话,我可以运用我的这个神通去到Dwarka城堡,然后把Aniruddha带到你的这个寝宫来。
Usha blushed.
然后Usha他就不好意思。
She nodded her head, she wanted that.
然后实际上她是想要着的,这样的。
So Chitraleka brought Aniruddha.
然后呢,Chitraleka就把Aniruddha带来了。
And they exchanged flowers.
然后他们之间就互换了花环。
And they did other things that men and women do in private.
然后呢,他们就在私下里就做了男女之间的那些事儿。
And the ladies of the royal palace started noticing features on Usha's body that gave them the indication she's having some kind of relationship going on.
然后宫中的那些妇女呢,她们就观察出了乌夏的身体的特征,展示出了她和其他人产生了这种关系的这种征兆。
Banasura came charging to Usha's chamber.
然后呢,Banasura就去到了乌夏的寝宫。
With his army.
他带着自己的军队去了。
And when he saw Aniruddha sitting in the private chamber of his daughter,
然后当他看到阿尼鲁达正和他的女儿乌莎坐在乌莎的这个内宫时
He exploded with anger.
他立刻怒可遏。
Aniruddha immediately stood up and did battle with his soldiers and killed a number of them and finally they subdued him and put him in Banasura's prison.
然后呢阿尼鲁达呢就立刻就站起来去跟班苏拉的这些卫士们作战并且把他们一一杀死后来班苏拉把阿尼鲁达抓了起来投到了监狱。
Eventually, word got back to Dwarka.Where Aniruddha, he is just missing for a long time.
因为那个时候呢，在杜瓦卡的这个消息就传到了杜瓦卡。那个时候，阿尼鲁达已经就是消失了很长时间了。
So a messenger was sent, please release Aniruddha and send him back to Dwarka.
后来呢，这个使者呢就说到了，请去救一救阿尼鲁达吧，把他救回到杜瓦卡城堡。
4 months passed, and Aniruddha didn't return to Dwarka.
那么这个4个月过去了，阿尼鲁达还没有回到杜拉卡。
So Krishna and Balaram and the Yadav warriors mounted their chariots and headed for Banasura's capital city.
就在这个时候 ，Krishna、Balarama 还有这个那些亚特王朝的那些士兵们，他们都骑上自己的战车，径直朝Banasura的城堡进发。
And in chapter 63 of Canto 10, we find about this intense battle that took place. There's Banasura with all his arms.
我们可以看到在圣典国家瓦坛的第62章里面，这里Banasura和 Krishna 之间进行了一场血战。
And there's Krishna fighting with Banasura, there's Balaram fighting with his club.
Krishna 和 Banasura 在一一对战， Balarama 和另外一个人在作战。
And I can't remember the detail, but Lord Shiva's yawning in this picture.
那么我不记得这个细节了。当时呢，主 Shiva 在那里打哈欠。
Do you remember the reason why he's yawning, Mara?
妈呀，您记得为什么 Shiva 打哈欠？
Any Krishna book fans that know the reason?
那喜欢阅读 Krishna book 的人记得这个吗？
Anyway, we see here's Ganapati, and he's leading the followers of Lord Shiva.
那么呢，这里面说到了 Ganesh， 他的另外一个名字是主 Shiva 的追随者的领袖的意思。
And the commentary says，
那么评注当中这样说的
：Although he's in the battle fighting apparently against Krishna，
尽管 Ganesh 在这场战争当中作为 Krishna 的对手，跟 Krishna 的军队作战。
He's not against Krishna. He'sholding the lotus feet of Lord Nrisimhadeva upon his head.
他并不是反对 Krishna， 他的这个獠牙一直紧紧地握着主尼辛哈内的莲花足。
But he was being the obedient son, being the Adiraja of the Gana of Lord Shiva.
但是呢，因为他是主希瓦的一个非常孝顺的儿子，他是
Adiraja。
他是 Adiraja。
Raja means king.
And Raja 的意思是国王。
And Adi is the first king.
那么 Adi 的意思是第一位首要的国王。
It means the leader.
那也就是领袖。
And the leader of the followers of Lord Shiva.
那么他是 Ganesh 是主 Shiva 的追随者的领袖。
He was a dutiful son.
他是一个非常有责任感的儿子。
And Kartikeya was involved in the battle also.
Kartikeya 也参加了这场大战。
So anyway, Krishna's, the Yadu dynasty smashed Banasura's group.
然后当不管怎么样吧Krishna 的军队把 Banasura 的军队打得溃不成军。
So they retreated back within the palace and they had, you know, another type of battle going on.
然后呢他们就进入了内宫进行了另一场战内战。
But I narrated this just so you could see how Ganesha or Ganadiraja or Ganapati gets his name.
所以呢，那不管怎么样吧，我们现在知道了 Ganesh 他是怎么得到了 Adiraja 还有其他 Adi
Ganesh.
You have hard work with Sanskrit names.
Sometimes.
Sometimes. Okay. Well, there's the end of our.Discussion for this evening. Thank you very much.
谢谢大家，这就是今天晚上学习的内容。
And we only have like six more verses to go.
我们还有四个多诗节需要讲。
51 to 56. We have six more verses.
我们还有六个诗节需要讲。
Any comments or questions?
大家有什么问题吗？
Do you have a nice story now?
大家的嗨浪挺好的，挺精彩的。
Yeah.
Yes.
Good. Your question?
那个有人说我们来到这个物质世界的人做的灵魂都当过主播吗？
It said that every living entity when they become every living entity have such an experience before this before they already became the Brahman.
我们来这个物质世界第一次投生都是主观。
So every living entity take a first birth in this material world. In this material world, they act as Brahma. They take the first birth as Brahma.
I have another question.
他们首先投生为Brahma。
就从灵性世界堕落到这个物质世界，我们第一次投生都是主观。
你自己说。
Say in English.
We follow down from the spiritual world down to the material world.
Yeah, yeah.
First the birth
is
Brahma. Low Brahma.
Yeah, yeah.
Is right?
Prabhupada said that. Don't ask me to explain.
他这么说了，但是不要让我对此进行解释。
This is
here's something I heard from Bhakti Chaitanya Swami.
那是我从 Bhakti Chaitanya Swami 那里听到这样听来的。
He gave a modified answer, modified qualification. Not only the post of Brahma, but in Brahmaloka or the other leading for devas, they take those posts.He doesn't like make things up. So where that scriptural reference comes from, I didn't ask. But that's what he said.
他就说到了，像有一些其他这个半神人的领袖，还有这个 the leaders of the demigods.
Yeah. One statement is there's one person, and all the living entities in this universe come first.In the post of Brahma, and that's one person. We got a lot of living entities in this universe. So how is that mathematically possible? Is the question. So the reply is, I don't know. And Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj expanded that explanation, not just the post of Brahma, but within Brahma Loka and other posts of highly elevated demigods.
他就说到了，不仅仅是在这个宇宙当中，不仅仅只有像 Brahma 这样的职位，还有宇宙当中还有其他的那些高等的半神人的其他的这些职位，都充满这些职位。
I will write to him and ask him what's the scriptural reference for that.
然后我会给他写信的，问问他这些这些根据出处是在哪里。
Still, there's a lot of living entities in this universe.
那么仍然在这个物质世界里还有那么多的生物体呢。
我就有一个比较感兴趣，说奎顺在博家房里说，回到灵性世界后永不再回来。我看你先一句一句翻译。
Krishna said in the Bhagavad Gita that those who return to the spiritual world never come to those who return to the spiritual world never come to this material world again.
Yeah. 有描述这个巴哈中的问题。
I don't ask me to explain it. You're asking me to explain it.
刚才说了，你不要别让我回来自己。
I'm just repeating what Prabhupada. I put it there. I could have not put it there, then you wouldn't have asked the question. I put it there because in Prabhupada's purport, when I said it.And don't ask me to explain it because it seems contradictory to something else. There's probably, in somewhere in the commentary of our Acharyas an explanation. I don't know what it is. So don't even ask the question because it'll just confuse everybody.
好吧。
好 ，OK。
是不是那个宇宙越大，那个 Brahma 那个头越多？
So, in the lecture mentioned, in other universities, universe, they also have other Brahman. Also have a Brahman.
Yeah.
And this Brahman is the smallest.
Well, the universe is the smallest.
Yeah, all the universe is smallest. Or other, the more the Brahman have, the bigger
yes.
the universe is.
Yes.
是的，头越多，这个 Brahman 的头越多，他们所在的那个宇宙的越大。
There's not a lot of explanation given, so to elaborate without the explanation given, it would be speculation. But what you said is my understanding, yeah.
Does Brahma have a sampradaya in the universe?
Doesn't say.
那么 Maharaj 他就问了，在每一个宇宙当中，是不是都有 Brahma sampradaya, Brahma 始祖传系？那么罗摩帕特斯阿米说这个问题答不上来。
So you are putting facts for this Brahma in this
universe? Yes, correct. Yeah.
So he's also pure devotee?
Yes. As Prabhupada says, pure enough.
So first state he realizes Vishnu, and then later on he sees Krishna in the two-arm form.
Yeah. Well, it's not exactly like that. Rather, there are different, the Brahma in Canto 2 and the Brahma in Brahma Samhita are two different Brahmas. Because the Brahma in Brahma Samhita, his relationship is Madhurya. And the Brahma in Canto 2, his relationship is Sakya. So two different Brahmas. Yes.
She should translate.
Go ahead.
那么那个那希腊苏阿米他刚才问罗摩帕特苏阿米说，这个宇宙当中的 Brahma 是不是纯粹的
奉献者？
是。It's pure. 然后马哈拉吉就回答说是纯粹的足够。
Oh, I was asking about his realization. I said
Rasa.
Yeah, I said, does he first see Vishnu and then later on then he sees Krishna?
那么呢，就是在这个 Brahma 他首先的觉悟到了 Vishnu， 然后又觉悟到了 Krishna， 看到 Krishna。
Maharaj
就说到了第这个里面 Brahma Samhita 里面的这个 Brahma 跟圣典波迦瓦坛的 Brahma 是两个不同的 Brahma。那么这个圣典波迦瓦坛第二篇里面讲到的 Brahma 和 Krishna 的关系是 Sakya 朋友的关系，而 Brahma Samhita 里面的这位 Brahma 和 Krishna 的关系是 Madhurya 的关系，情侣的关系。
So the Brahma Samhita is spoken just at the beginning of the creation or through, during the life of Brahma? Do we know?
It doesn't say.
那么这个 Brahma Samhita 是在创造之初讲出来的，还是在 Brahma 的
一生
讲出来的？他的生命之间讲出来。
It's certainly after he completes his tapa.
那么肯定是在他 Brahma 做完他的苦行 tapa 之后讲出来的。
But how soon after that? There's no indication.
但是是在。在什么时候，具体的什么时候不太清楚。
Yes.
刚才讲了被杀的全是大战的，除了妈的他不打哈欠，打哈欠打到什么哈欠？
他说希望
什么
希望
希望什么
打哈欠
用
啊怎么的
打什么哈欠
打什么哈欠
啊Today is the battle between the Balasura and Krishna. So during that battle, Lord Shiva yawned. Why Lord Shiva yawned?
Well, we didn't. With Maharaj said we were not sure. We didn't know that. So,
I can look. I'll investigate. I'll see if the reference is there in the literature that I have available.
And Maharaj 回去再查一查这个经典里面对这个部分的描述，因为他看到。
Our artists depicted this way because there's some statement about it, But I don't remember that detail.
那么呢，这个我们的这画这个图片的这些画家，他是这样画的。然后后来呢，就是有一些资料呢，就是对主希瓦的哈欠有一些这个陈述，但是马哈拉吉现在不记得画是怎么说的。
And it may even have been some instruction that Prabhupada gave to the artists that isn't written in Krishna book. I'll research.
我现在我需要去查一下经典，就是在这个画家画这个画面的时候是薛帕帕给他们一些训示，按照这样的训示，按照他的训示画出来的。
Something else.
有别的问题吗？
Yeah.
No.那个跟前两天讲的是马哈威什努就产生了原版的布拉玛原版。
那么 ，yesterday you mentioned that from Mahavishnu emanates the original Shambhu and the original Brahma。
Yeah.
我想知道这个原版这个布拉玛是基瓦还是属于威什努塔塔吧
？I would like to know this original Shambhu belongs to Jiva Tattva or Vishnu。
Brahma， 我问那个原版的 Brahma。
Brahma， so this original Brahma is， 这个原版的 Brahma 是 Jiva， 是个体灵魂。
Yes， 你在这个讲课的时候讲过这个，那大家你有64种技能，所以 Krishna 有64种这个品质，这些。有没有什么
关联？
很关联。这个就是这个
skill，
这个
skill，
木林姑娘是这个阮达阮尼的会。那么这个个体灵魂也有这个分爱，然后与这个阮达阮尼有什么？这属于
个体灵魂的分爱。
什么？你后面那一部分说再说一遍好吗？
个体灵魂与这个阮达阮尼的这个关系，就是这个木林姑娘是这个。拉达拉尼的扩展。
个体灵魂。
个体灵魂与这个
拉达拉尼有什么关系？So he has a few questions.
From the expression on everyone's face, it's an interesting question.
那从你讲的这个问题呢，然后再看看大家的面部表情，都能够看得出来，他们的面部表情都能看得出来，你提的问题是很有意思。He has a few questions. One question is about that Radharani has a 64 artistic skills and Krishna has a 64 qualities. So what's the connection between both?
There's no connection that I'm aware of.
那么他们之间就是 Radharani 的64项艺术技能和这个 Krishna 的64项品质之间没有什么关联。
Krishna has the same 64 artistic abilities.
那么 Krishna 他拥有同样的64项技能。
And with those artistic abilities, he accelerates or he stimulates. There we go. He stimulates the ecstatic love of Radha for him.
那么呢 ，Krishna 利用这64项技能去激励或者是刺激 Radharani 对他的分爱之情，纯粹的对他的爱。
And but the 64 qualities, there is no connection that I'm aware of.
那么呢，就是关于 Krishna 的64项品质跟这个 Radharani 的64项技能。是没有什么关联。
And second question?
The second question that, for example, the gopis are the expansion of Radharani. So how about the jiva? Is any relationship between the Radharani and the jivas?
They're not ontologically, meaning.It's not that the jivas are expansions of Radharani.
那么不是说是 jiva 是 Radharani 的扩展。
The jivas are expansions of Krishna's tatastha shakti, and Radharani is Krishna's ladini shakti.
那么呢 ，jiva 个体灵魂是 Krishna 的 tatastha shakti 是 Krishna 的边际能量的扩展，而 Radharani 呢 是 Krishna 的 Ladini Shakti， 是 Krishna 的喜乐能量。
Tatasya Shakti means marginal potency。
那么 Tatasya Shakti 的意思是边际能量。
And Ladini Shakti means internal pleasure potency. There are two different categories of energy.
那么 Ladini Shakti 是 Krishna 的内在的喜乐能量，这是两个不同范畴的能量。
The connection is they want to please Krishna. At least they're intended by their in their natural state.To increase Krishna's pleasure and happiness.
那么呢，他们的之间的关联就是在于，如果就是他们原本的对 Krishna 的意向就是去取悦 Krishna.
That's why living entities exist.
这就是为什么生物体存在的。
Of course, they exist eternally, but there's a purpose or function.
那么呢，当然了，生物体他们是永恒存在的。他们的原本固有的这种职责和活动就是去取悦 Krishna
increasing the pleasure and happiness of Krishna that's why we exist
这就是并且去加强增加 Krishna 的喜乐
and when we do that which we exist for or fulfills our purpose we find happiness
那么当我们这样活着去这样去取悦 Krishna 的话那么我们也会感到快乐。
Okay, looks like we're done. Srila Prabhupada, whoa. You're hiding behind the projector.
因为你这个挡着你了，所以没看到你。
没关系，就是Radharani还就是那个还有八个牧牛姑娘，她们是个体灵魂吗
？So, Radharani and eight main principle.Gopis, they are the jivas.
No.
他们不是 jiva, 个体不是个体，他们是 shakti, 他们是能力 ，Krishna 的能量。
个体灵魂，是这个体灵魂
，individual soul.
Isn't it? 啊，这。他
说 ，Let's do the question again.
他问 Radharani 和牧牛姑娘是不是个体灵魂，是吧？
He asked that Radharani and main gopis, they are individual souls.
No.
他们不是个体灵魂，就像我。
You and I and all of us were individual souls.
你我还有所有其他人都是个体灵魂。
We are jiva tattva.
我们是属于 jiva tattva 这个范畴。
Krishna and the Vishnu expansions, they are Vishnu tattva.
Krishna 还有 Vishnu 他们属于 Vishnu Tattva 范畴
and Radharani and her expansions are Shakti Tattva
那么 Radharani 还有 Radharani 的扩展他们属于 Shakti Tattva 范畴
they're not living entities like us
他们不像是我们这样的生物体
they're in another category
他们属于另外一个范畴
but are they souls?
They're not souls, they're Shakti Tattva
not souls
The Shakti Tattva.
But they're individuals.
They're individuals, yes.
他们不是说像我们像个，他们是个体的，他们也是一个个体，但是他们是 Krishna 的能量，内在的。
不是灵魂。
啊，他不是灵魂。
So now, you're a jiva soul.
But
wait,
let her finish. 不是灵
魂。So how do you understand they are not souls?
She's fully conscious, but she's not. The jiva souls are very tiny.
那么呢，她是完全全知的，她不像我们这样的渺小的个体灵魂。Radharani 可不是像我们这样渺小的。
She is intrinsic to Krishna, his pleasure potency, which is unlimited.
那么呢，她是 Krishna 的能量 intrinsic.
She's an individual.
她是一个个体。
But she's not a jiva.
但是她不是 jiva. 个体灵魂。
Okay.
好吗？
Now here's something very nice. It'll make you even more happy. You're smiling now.
那么现在你的脸像个笑容更大了，更灿烂了。
You're really worried me for.
然后在此在你提到这个问题这个问题的时候，你脸上一满脸的愁容，一脸的愁容。
You would make a very good actress. Your facial expressions are very, very graphic.
你的这个面部的表情很丰富啊，你肯定会成为一个非常优秀的演员。
You speak with your eyes.
尤其是你的眼睛。
You're very talented. She's very talented.
你是非常有智慧的。
So anyway.You're a jiva soul, and Radharani is Shakti Tattva.
你是个体灵魂 jiva. Radharani 是 Shakti Tattva, 它属于 Shakti Tattva 范畴。
And her expansions are also Shakti Tattva.
而且它的扩展也是属于 Shakti Tattva 范畴。
But living entities can get their association.
但是呢，个体生物能够得到。这些生物体能够得到他们的联谊。
You cannot become them, it's not opposed, but you can become like them through that association.
那么你通过和他们的联谊，你可以变得像他们那样，但是不能够成为他们。
Yay! Shri Krishna Sankirtanam Ki Go, Pimanami.
Hello!
给我，我擦。